Chapter 3. After the movie was over, it suddenly came to us that Cherry and Marcia didn't have a way to get home. Two-Bit gallantly offered to walk them home. The west side of town was only about 20 miles away, but they wanted to call their parents and have them come and get them. Two-Bit finally talked them into letting us drive them home in his car. I think they were still half scared of us. They were getting over it, though, as we walked to Two-Bit's house to pick up the car. It seemed funny to me that Socias, if these girls were any example, were just like us. They liked the Beatles and thought Elvis Presley was out, and we thought the Beatles were rank and that Elvis was tough. But that seemed the only difference to me. Of course, greasy girls would have acted a lot tougher, but there was a basic sameness. I thought maybe it was money that separated us. No, Cherry said slowly when I said this. It's not just money. Part of it is, but not all. You greasers have a different set of values. You're more emotional. We're sophisticated. Cool to the point of not feeling anything. Nothing is for real with us. You know, sometimes I'll catch myself talking to a girlfriend and realize I don't mean half of what I'm saying. I don't really think a beer blast on the river bottom is super cool, but I'll rave about one to a girlfriend just to be saying something. She smiled at me. I never told anyone that. I think you're the first person I've ever really gotten through to. She was coming through to me, all right. Probably because I was a greaser and younger. She didn't have to keep up her guard with me. Rat race is a perfect name for it, she said. We're always going and going and going and never asking where. Did you ever hear of having more than you wanted, so that you couldn't want anything else, and then started looking for something else to want? It seems like we're always searching for something to satisfy us and never finding it. Maybe if we could lose our cool, we could. That was the truth. Socias were always behind a wall of aloofness, careful not to let their real selves show through. I had seen a social club rumble once. The Socias even fought coldly and practically and impersonally. That's why we're separated, I said. It's not money, it's feeling. You don't feel anything, and we feel too violently. And, she was trying to hide a smile, that's probably why we take turns getting our names in the paper. Two-Bit and Marcia weren't even listening to us. They were engaged in some wild conversation that made no sense to anyone but themselves. I have quite a rep for being quiet, almost as quiet as Johnny. Two-Bit always said he wondered why Johnny and I were such good buddies. You must make such interesting conversation, he'd say, cocking one eyebrow. You keeping your mouth shut and Johnny not saying anything. But Johnny and I understood each other without saying anything. Nobody but Soda could really get me talking, till I met Cherry Valance. I don't know why I could talk to her. Maybe for the same reason she could talk to me. The first thing I knew, I was telling her about Mickey Mouse, Soda's horse. I had never told anyone about Soda's horse. It was personal. Soda had this buckskin horse, only it wasn't his. It belonged to a guy who kept it at the stables where Soda used to work. Mickey Mouse was Soda's horse, though. The first day Soda saw him, he said, "There's my horse," and I never doubted it. I was about 10 then. Soda Pop is horse crazy. I mean it. He's always hanging around stables and rodeos, hopping on a horse every time he gets a chance. When I was 10, I thought that Mickey Mouse and Soda looked alike and were alike. Mickey Mouse was a dark gold buckskin, sassy and ornery, not much more than a colt. He'd come when Soda called him. He wouldn't come for anyone else. That horse loved Soda. He'd stand there and chew on Soda's sleeve or collar. Gosh, but Soda Pop was crazy about that horse. He went down to see him every day. Mickey Mouse was a mean horse. He kicked other horses and was always getting into trouble. "I got me an ornery pony," Soda'd tell him, rubbing his neck. "How come you're so mean, Mickey Mouse?" Mickey Mouse would just chew on his sleeve and sometimes nip him, but not hard. He may have belonged to another guy, but he was Soda's horse. Does Soda still have him? Cherry asked. He got sold, I said. They came and got him one day and took him off. He was a real valuable horse. Pure quarter. She didn't say anything else, and I was glad. I couldn't tell her that Soda had bawled all night long after they came and got Mickey Mouse. I had cried, too, if you want to know the truth, because Soda never really wanted anything except a horse, and he'd lost his. Soda had been 12 then, going on 13. He never let on to Mom and Dad how he felt, though, because we never had enough money, and usually we had a hard time making ends meet. When you're 13 in our neighborhood, you know the score. I kept saving my money for a year, thinking that someday I could buy Mickey Mouse back for Soda. You're not so smart at 10.
You read a lot, don't you, Pony Boy? Cherry asked.
I was startled.
Yeah, why? She kind of shrugged. I could just tell. I bet you watch sunsets, too.
She was quiet for a minute after I nodded.
I used to watch them, too, before I got so busy.